Hello, Lagos. Good afternoon. I am Sandra Ezekwesili, and these are your hard facts. First hard fact of the day: I beg to differ. Auditions end 8 days from today. 8 days from today, auditions will be over. We're getting ready for the next tournament. The auditions are flooding in. If you are in the age bracket and you think you have what it takes to win 1 million naira in the next I Beg to Differ debate tournament, head to www.nigeriainfo.fm, click on I Beg to Differ, follow the instructions. It's very easy. By the way, if you go to our website right now, www.nigeriainfo.fm, if you go there right now, you'll see that there are only 2 audition topics left. We started with 4, but we have removed 2 of those topics. Why did we do that? High levels of plagiarism. Yeah, you heard me. Dozens of students sent in almost identical auditions, almost line for line. Some of them were line for line, word for word, self. Now, I'm not saying that they were, you know, making the same points, so, because there are some that did that. They were making the same points. That one is okay. That one is expected because of the nature of those topics. I'm saying that there are students that were making the same points word for word. So we did our research and we found the website that they were all going to get their points from. Now, of course, we've disqualified them. But since it's clear that these 2 topics happen to have answers online, and since, unfortunately, so many young people have decided to cheat, we have scrapped those 2 topics. So from today, anyone submitting an audition with either of those topics will not be accepted. The topics in question are parliamentary versus presidential system and businesses should employ 50% men, 50% women. Those 2 topics have been removed from the list of audition topics. They are now off the table because of the high levels of copy and paste, the high levels of plagiarism. Our judges are taking out time from their busy days to listen to these auditions. I'm not going to have them wasting their time listening to clips with high likelihood of plagiarism. So if you want to have a chance to pass the audition stage, please pick one of the 2 topics that are still up on our website, www.nigeriainfo.fm. I know that some people saw the topics weeks ago and then they went to rehearse and so that they can upload and give us their best version of the auditions. I would recommend that you change that topic, because we've also found that a lot of students, especially from VicMob High School, continue to upload the topics that are not there anymore, but they're using the label for the topics that are currently there. Now, I'm not penalizing you for doing that, but any more auditions we get from today that does the same thing. So you upload with the wrong headline or the wrong topic, and when we're listening to the clip, we're hearing a different topic on the clip. If that happens again, we'll disqualify you as well. So that's it. You have until the 12th of July. So you have 8 days. 8 days left to audition. 3 p.m. auditions close. Good luck to you. And thank you for wanting to be a part of this to begin with. And thank you for listening to Hard Facts. If you are tuning in for the first time, welcome. You're in great company. 1 million Lagosians listen to this show. And if 1 million Lagosians like something, they cannot be wrong. So let's talk about the aftermath of the terrorist attack on Shiroro. Let's talk about Lekki Port receiving its first ship. Then let's talk about Kwankwaso saying that the North will not vote for a Southeasterner. For those of you who use the BRT, let's also talk about the increase in prices for the BRT. How has that been going? How is that going today? What's your feeling about that? What's your reaction to the Lagos State Government increasing the price for the BRT? Today, we'll bring you Madam Landlord. We're going to talk about the EFCC's warning that landlords of fraudsters will be jailed. I want to have that conversation with a lawyer. So 4 p.m., a lawyer will be here to talk about the legality of this idea. If you are a landlord or a landlady, I recommend you listen to that conversation from 4 p.m. And on the big hard fact, let's talk about the face-off between the Kaduna State Government and Kaduna State teachers over aptitude tests. It's going to happen today from 5. Don't miss it. As usual, we'll have updates coming your way at the top of every hour. After the news at 6, the newsroom will take the air. Actually, no, the newsroom is not coming today because we have WAFCON games coming up from 6 o'clock, which means my show will actually end at 5:45 today. But let's get started with the big weekend, yeah? I'm Sandra Ezekwesili Lagos. These are your hard facts. Can the security agencies protect our critical infrastructure? How will the Lekki port affect Lagos traffic? And is the government ready for this? Did Kwankwaso just accuse northern voters of ethnic stereotyping? And what do you think about the increased BRT rates? Also, what happened in that church in Ondo State? It was a big weekend, Lagos. Let's talk about it. Our first story is the aftermath of the terrorist attack on soldiers in Shiroro local government area. At least 45 persons are confirmed dead, including 34 soldiers, 7 police officers. It all started as a terrorist attack on a mining site in the local government area. The soldiers were now responding to the distress calls from the mining site when they were ambushed in turn. The army says they lost their lives in a massive firefight. Several civilians, both Nigerian and Chinese, were kidnapped during the attack on the site. President Buhari has called this terror attack an attack on the entire country and is vowing that he will bring the terrorists to justice. Through his media team, he said, quote, "To the sadist, I say this, we are coming. No matter what rock you crawl under, what hole you sink into, what lie you hide behind, we are coming and we will find you. Shiroro will see justice. Nigeria will know peace," end quote. Tough words. But some people are not convinced. The PDP is questioning the ability of Buhari's APC's administration to secure the country. The opposition party is accusing Buhari of letting corruption fester in the military and the security architecture, which they blame for the troops' inability to root out terrorism. The PDP is pointing to the allegations that the ICPC found over 1 billion naira in a house allegedly connected to the former chief of army staff, Tukur Buratai. Buratai is currently the ambassador to Benin Republic. PDP has told President Buhari to recall Buratai and have him probed. And as questions continue to be asked about whether the federal government can protect Nigeria, more state governments are taking steps in that direction. Zamfara State Governor Bello Matawalle inaugurated a so-called community protection guards across the state. Each of the 19 emirates in Zamfara has its own CPG corps. The goal is for each of these corps to have 500 armed and trained security personnel. So this is in addition to the governor's general call for more citizens to apply for firearms licenses and arm themselves against terrorists. And see, Lagos, we've talked about this thing quite a bit, right? We talked about this a lot last week. A lot of you believe that it's dangerous for states to start creating these official armed groups. But some of you believe that states don't have a choice because federal security agencies don't seem to be able to protect everyone. Well, that's the situation in Shiroro. Tell me what you think. Do you have confidence that the terrorists will be found, as the president says? What do you think about the PDP's call to probe Buratai? And in the light of this latest attack, what's your take on the Zamfara government setting up its own armed security apparatus? And yes, let me know what you think about the increase in BRT fares. Have you tried to take a BRT today? What's your experience been? 99.3 Nigeria Info. That's what you're listening to. This is Hard Facts. You're listening to The Big Weekend. Every Monday from 3 p.m., we bring you all the big stories that broke over the weekend so that you can respond to them, you know, at your own you know, pace. And then if it's a Tuesday, we'll bring you three of the biggest stories of the day. 99.3, hello.
Hey, Sandra.
Thanks for calling. Is that Kevin?
Yes, I greet you.
I greet you too. Welcome.
How was your weekend?
It was fine. How was yours?
It's going to be the glory. Mm. Yes, I missed the global edition on Friday. You were not around.
No, I wasn't. Yeah.
You see, the president is sounding like a broken record. If it was a president of Obasanjo that said, we'll feed them out, we'll smoke them out, they will not go unpunished, I'll have a little bit of belief in him. I will be a bit confidential that, yes, at least something will be done. But this president, this government, they keep saying the same thing every time. And Nigerians, if not all, most Nigerians are tired of this repeated, you know, threats and, you know, repeated condolences and sounding like a broken record all the time when these things happen. You know, earlier today, some Nigerians were saying in the newspaper headline that, you know, Nigerians were commenting about this, this and that. We left it talking about politics. What else do you want to say? We are almost tired of this. There's nothing else to say. If not that I don't understand religious, I would not say like other Nigerians used to say, let us leave it to God. But I don't understand like that. The only thing we have to do is to go to the ballot and put in a government that will take security serious. Security has collapsed in this country. It has collapsed. This is, our people have been killed. Our military have been killed. What can we do? The commander-in-chief has not done anything to me that seems concrete. Only that does this talk that he's talking now. I'm sorry, he's, the president sounds like a broker. I don't think any much will come out of this. So for me, it's just rhetoric. And for Kwakwanso, he's on his own. He's sounding political. And I think the ball is set for Nigerians. He can say whatever he wants to say. The other day, someone else said that the Southeast is not going to give their vote to a certain candidate that is from the Southeast. That's his own. He has only one vote. It is the people that will decide this election. And I hope the people will decide.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for calling. We've got Didi in Lekki. Hi, Didi.
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Sandra.
Welcome.
I heard you mention the speech of the president.
Right.
All I want to say is, you know, you were just talking about plagiarism when it came to the I Beg to Differ. They have to check that speech for plagiarism. What are they talking about? Is it just a play on words, under which rock you crawl, under which mountain you climb? Is it like a play on words, or is it meant, what is it meant to do? They've said that over and over again. People are dying and you are speaking English. Please, they should check those words for plagiarism. I'm sure they got it from somewhere. It's not original to them. Thank you.
Didi, thanks for calling. Okay. 99.3, hello. How are you? What's your name, ma'am?
Hello, good afternoon, Auntie.
Good afternoon, ma'am. What's your name?
That's Uche from First Light.
Uche, welcome. Go ahead.
Thank you. Auntie, let me tell you, see that bright eye proof. It's not the only one they should prove.
Okay.
All the past service chiefs should be probed. All of them.
Okay.
Because they cannot tell us they don't know what is happening. They know. Just like the present government. They know. And that's why they are fighting tooth and nail to remain in government. Because they know that if the right person comes, who is coming by God's grace? Because we have prayed for good leadership and God has answered us. Come 2023, we are going to have good leadership. And that person will prove all of them. That's why you see them running helter-skelter. God will see us through. Well done, Auntie.
Thank you very much, ma'am, for calling. If you just tuned into the show, hello to you. We just talked about the aftermath of the terrorist attack on soldiers in Shiroro local government area. At least 45 persons confirmed dead, including 34 soldiers and 7 police officers. Like I told you earlier on, it started off as a terrorist attack on a mining site in the local government. Soldiers were responding to distress calls from the site, and then they were now ambushed, and the army says they lost their lives in a massive firefight. The president has called this terror attack an attack on the entire country. And he said, quote, to the sadist, I say this, we are coming, no matter what rock you crawl under, what hole you sink into, what lie you hide behind, we're coming and we will find you. Shiriro will see justice. Nigeria will know peace. A statement that the PDP has criticized, and they are pointing to alleged 1 billion naira found in a house allegedly connected to the former chief of army staff, Tukur Buratai, found by the ICPC. Buratai is currently an ambassador to Benin Republic, and PDP has said to the president, recall Buratai and have him probed. Okay, well, our second story is the plan of the Lagos State Government to increase the fare of commuters who want to use BRTs. Governor Sanwo-Olu has approved a flat rate increase by 100 naira for all BRT routes with effect from July 13th. Some commuters say that this proposed increment from the 13th of July will be terrible for them because, you know, citizens are facing really tough times at the moment. But some other people said, ah, come on, it's just 100 naira. Why are people complaining about just 100 naira? What do you think? Tell me. 0700-993-993-993-01465-7190. Hello, thank you very much for calling us. Hello. Good evening. Oh, there's no one there. Hi, good evening. Thanks for calling.
Thanks for calling. Hello, my dear. How are you?
I'm very well. What's your name, ma'am?
See, the issue is unfortunate. The soldiers are going gradually. I don't think we still have Nigerian soldiers. I don't think so. You don't give somebody cutlass to pursue somebody with AK-47. It's not done. That is number one. I will catch them. When I get them, nothing will be done. They'll be pardoned. I don't know if you read about the man who hung himself. The colonel, who hung himself because they recircled, he discovered that the people he handed to his boss were released and they came back again. He fired them. Then punishment was set aside for him. He had to take his life. See, we only need to pray and look for, go for PVC. God bless you.
All right. Bless you too. Thank you very much for calling. 99.3. Hello. Sorry about that. Call back if you can. 99.3. Hello. Hello. I've peaked.
Brilliant.
Oh, sorry about that. Call back if you can. We've got, let's see, how many minutes before we have to take a break? Let me take a look. Okay, just less than a minute before we have to take a break. So let me take that time and read messages from social media. President Sandra, it's very pitiful that a president who's a former military general watches everyday troops and innocent citizens getting killed. And all he can do is sound like a broken record, like your caller said. Okay. All right. You end that message with what a shame. All right. Thank you very much for your message. John from Mr. Boyi John from Lekki says PDP made valid points and Buratai will face probes after power changes hands. If Buhari likes it or not, Buratai must face probe sooner or later. All right, that's my cue to take a break. When we come back from this break, let's talk about the Lekki port. It received its first ship on Friday. What does that mean for traffic for residents in that area of Lagos? I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. S. Ezekwesili everywhere. Don't go away. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. The Lekki port received its first ship on Friday. So technically, the port is now operating, although it is still under construction. The first ship brought equipment needed for the port, like a massive crane to help transfer containers from ships to shore. Between now and next year, more ships will come in, bringing more equipment for the port itself. But we don't expect to have actual commercial operations with third-party ships until next year. This is great news. It really is. It's fantastic news. You know, you're asking for good news all the time, right? This is one of the best. It's great news for the economy in general. Now, let me give you a bit of background, right? The Lekki port is located in the Lekki Free Zone, which is a free trade zone promoted by Tolaram Group, but with land provided by Lagos State Government. The port is also being built with private money. it's a group of private investors as well as banks. So this is one of those great examples of public-private partnership at work. Now, the business will employ local workers, boosting our employment numbers and increasing the amount of money entering the local economy. So the companies will not pay taxes or custom duties because, again, it's a free trade zone. So zero tax. That's the incentive for them to come here, set up their business. But the idea is that the lack of tax revenue will be made up for by the rise in jobs. So see why I said this is brilliant, great news. But I know I hate the but there's a but. There's also going to be a rise in traffic because the Lekki port will attract imports as well as exports. Those imports will have to leave the Lekki Free Trade Zone, make their way into Lagos and the rest of Nigeria. And there are serious concerns that the road network around the port simply lacks the capacity. Generally, there are two ways of going in and out of that area. You can drive west and end up on the Lekki Epway Expressway coming towards VGC, Lekki and VI. Or you can go east towards Ekpe and end up on the road to Ogun State. Now, option one is already tough because Lekki Ekpe suffers heavy traffic, especially for people who live in the Shangote Do, Aja, VGC, Chevron area. Right? So those people are already going through it as far as traffic is concerned because there's ongoing work in those parts. So that's contributing to the traffic situation. So it might be a temporary thing, but it might not be. Now, that ongoing work is to widen the road at some point there. But the big question is, what happens when you have lots of articulated trucks bringing containers to and from the new Lekki port? Has the Lagos State Government made adequate plans for that? Now, the Lagos State Government is shy to come on Nigeria Info. Otherwise, I'll be asking them this question myself. But have they made plans for that? And as for the road going out from Ekpe, questions also have to be asked about how much truck traffic it can handle. Has it really received proper attention from the federal government as an interstate road? Now, there are some suggestions that barges could be used to move the cargo from Lekki Port by sea to places like Marina. We've already seen the Federal Ministry of Transport and the Lagos State Government crack down on barge operations from Apapa to Marina. So I wonder if they will have a change of heart here and let the barges move from Lekki. All of these questions that only the Lagos State Government can answer. Now, the obvious option is railway. Currently, the federal government is linking Apapa to the Lagos-Ibadan Railway. There's even plans to have some port operations closer to Ibadan on the line to help decongest Apapa. So my question is, given how long this Lekki port has been in the works, given the obvious congestion problems, should the Lagos State Government have been lobbying the federal government for some railway connections from the Lekki port? Speaking of ports, we have news from two other ports in the South and the Southeast. Calabar Port received its first vessel in 3 years. The ship came from Singapore. It brought over 200 heavy-duty trucks. There's been a lot of work going on at that port for some years, so it's great to see that it can be operational. We're going to be monitoring it to see if it starts getting regular traffic or not. Meanwhile, the federal government is set to concession the Onitsha River port. Work has also been ongoing there. A couple of years ago, we started seeing barges coming up the river from Port Harcourt. The idea is to build out the capacity of the port so that cargo can come straight there from Port Harcourt and into the southeast. Now, if these two ports can start operating properly, it should relieve the pressure on Apapa ports. Traders who want to send their goods to the east will no longer have to land them in Lagos first, then move across the river by truck. It's also going to be interesting to see what the situation does to commercial activity nationwide. You know, will places like Onitsha, Calabar Port, Harcourt start growing as commercial hubs? Will they start seeing more influx of Nigerians from other parts of the country, just like Lagos has seen for decades as almost the only commercial hub in the south? So it's going to be very interesting to see, but this is really great news and I'm really happy about it. I just want to hear what you think about it. What's your reaction to the progress at the Lekki port? Are you excited about the economic opportunities it will bring to the Lagos Free Trade Zone and to our economy? Are you worried about the increased congestion? Are you a little bit of both? Men, call me on 0700-993-993-993. Women, call me on 01465-7190. And yes, you can still talk about our first story. And you can also let me know what you think about the coming increase in BRT bus fares. 100 naira increase. What do you think about that? Some people say, why are you doing that to us at a time where things are already really expensive? Others say, it's just 100 naira. What do you say? 99.3. Hello. Thanks for calling. Good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon. It's Genevieve.
Hi, Genevieve. Welcome.
Thank you. How are you doing today?
I'm okay.
Okay. All right, Sandra. So I'm going to talk about the attack at the mining site.
Right, okay.
Yes, so Sandra, every day I wake up in Nigeria, I feel three things. Number one, fear. Two, anger. And three, the strong urge to flee from this country. Why am I angry? Because these things are happening right under our noses. And it's like we can't do anything. Sandra, every time things like this happen, it's the same story. The people at the end of affairs, they come out and they talk, we are going to bring the perpetrator to book, we are going to do this and do that, and nothing happens. See, the same repeats itself. It's just going like that. And in fact, I think that we are being taken for fools. Now, fear. I'm scared for my life because anything can happen to anybody at any point in time. And the thing is that if at the end of the day, we have fled from this country, God keeping us alive. So I just don't understand Nigeria. I think we are too docile. We should all stand up and do things better. Thank you.
Thank you for calling, Genevieve. 99.3, hello.
Yeah, President Sandra.
Good to have you on the show, sir. What's
good
your
afternoon.
Name?
This is Chris.
Chris, welcome. Go ahead.
Nelson's advice on general matters.
Good to have
you. For the first ship, right? But my fear, you know, the Nigerian factor, sabotage. I hope they will not sabotage that.
Chris, your line is breaking up. I don't know what's happening. Maybe give us a call back. 99.3, hello.
Hello.
How are you, sir? What's your name?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Well done. Auntie. I want to commend you for that, Abedi Nifa. What you told us, may God bless you, and I like it. Hello?
Okay.
Concerning the issue of what happened in Ondo, is highly unacceptable, it's an inhuman act, and it's highly condemnable. I'm ashamed of what happened, I'm telling you.
Okay.
Concerning security of foreign Nigerian properties, I belong to people that benefited from Nigerian property from 1986 till some vandalization. So I support who will safeguard it. We have money to pay them. Yes, I will go. And you know what? So to go for no, all for salary. Hello?
Okay.
Concerning BRT. Hello?
Yes, I'm here. Concerning
BRT issue. We just came out from fuel hike. And fuel, we noticed 2 weeks ago, they just came out so they want to increase the price. You know, good. I'm not happy. Concerning the issue of, as we talk about other rebellion warriors, you remember me?
As we remember you, that's it now. That's what we've stopped. The ports. Have you talked about the ports?
Okay. I will go back.
Okay. Thank you very much for calling. Well, I am seeing that President Buhari has directed Rotimi Amaechi to consult and draft an MOU to the Federal Executive Council as regards linking the Lekki Deep Sea Port facility to the nation's rail network. So, and he gave this directive back in March 2022. There has been no update since then about that, so we do hope that that conversation happens eventually. 99.3, hello.
Hello, Sandra. Good evening.
Good evening. What's your name, ma'am? Hello? Oh, I don't know what happened there, but sorry about that. Call back if you can. 99.3, hello.
Hello, Sandra.
Good evening. What's your name, sir?
Good afternoon.
Yes, welcome.
Hello?
Hello, go ahead. I can hear you.
All right. You see, Sandra, the military that were, whether they say they were ambushed them, have been at the run into the people. I think we should talk about the terror that is going on in Nigeria. Okay. If Nigeria has become a terrorist country, let us know. Instead of we begin to try to paint the thing, the attack army.
Nigeria is not a terrorist country. Terrorism is something that happens everywhere. There's no country that is a terrorist country, not even Afghanistan or, you know, well, yes, Afghanistan. You know, there's no country that's a terrorist country. Nigeria definitely isn't a terrorist country. We're just dealing with terrorism. Now, the question can be, are we dealing with terrorism the right way? Are we doing the things we should be doing for a country that is under the attack of terrorists? That answer is up to you. But I don't think we can say, oh, they should tell us if Nigeria is a terrorist country. That's not really... No. Okay. Let me bring you our next story. Rabiu Musa Kwankwaso, he's facing fire for comments that he made about the North not voting for a Southeasterner. First, I'll play you a clip of Kwankwaso on TV. He was being asked if he would agree to be Peter Obi's running mate. And here's what he said.
So you are starting to pick a running mate from the Southeast?
That's my choice.
Okay.
Things being equal, that's the choice of our party. Because you see...
We'll or maybe they're even thinking that you might be the running mate to Peter Obi.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That is what the enemy outside there is saying. The implication is that if you put somebody from the Southeast, unfortunately, there are many issues in the Southeast. You see, Northern voter is the worst hit on this issue of maladministration in this country. But even under that circumstance, another voter also believes that he is better with one united Nigeria. And therefore, most of the things that are happening in the South, especially in the Southeast, people are not comfortable with that. And as long as you have somebody from there in any party, it will be very difficult for the Northern voters to vote. And that's the situation now. And those workers who are against, in the actual sense, working against LP, Southeast, and so on, what they believe is, if you put anybody under this arrangement from that side of the country, the North voters will not vote. And who will they vote? Their own candidate in the Southeast, I mean, in the North.
So, would you be a running mate to Peter Obi?
That's what I'm saying.
Would you personally?
Ordinarily, I'm jobless now. I'm not doing any job. So to become a vice president,
you can't be a vice president.
But what I'm telling you is that if anybody from the South is now under this circumstance becomes the presidential candidate of our party or any other party, the implication is that because of the activities and many other issues that are real on the ground, Northern voters will certainly go for their Northern candidate in another party.
So the thinking is that
it's not whether I like it or I don't like it. The fact remains that
the numbers,
everybody will lose. The number, he will lose, I will lose.
So if Peter Obi is coming to join you, he will be your running mate.
That's as long as you want to vote from the North, that's the situation, fortunately or unfortunately, today.
So Kwankwaso is saying that Northern voters will find it hard to vote for a Southeasterner for president because of agitations from some Southeasterners for Biafra. And because of that, the idea of a Southeasterner at the top of a party ticket instead of as a running mate is a non-starter. Like I said, there's been some pushback to this statement by Kwankwaso. Some Nigerians have said it is unjust to disqualify all candidates from one region because of the actions of some people in the region. After all, they point out that Kwankwaso is from a region currently producing a lot of terrorists and insurgents. It wouldn't be acceptable for Southwesterners or Southeasterners or Niger Deltans to say they will don't vote for any Northerner because of these problems, for example. That's some of the pushback that I've heard. So that leads me to my question. Did Rabiu Musa Kwankwaso just accuse Northern voters of ethnic bigotry and divisiveness? Does he owe Northern voters an apology for painting them as bigots? 0700-993-993-993-01465-7190. Share your thoughts on WhatsApp. WhatsApp is 080-959-75805. If we have time, we'll get into the story from Ondo. Like I said, it was a really big weekend. And let me know how you feel about the Lekki Ports almost nearing complete completion, the activities at the Onitsha and Calabar Ports. Also, let me know what you think about the Lagos State Government's plan to increase transport fares on BRTs across all the routes that they ply. Do you think at this time that's not the right way to go? Or, yeah, it makes sense that, we increase the fares by just 100 naira. Is it just 100 naira? And tell me what you think about the terrorist attack in Shiroro local government area. I am Sandra Ezekwesili. This is Nigeria Info 99.3. You're listening to The Big Weekend. All the big stories that broke over the weekend, we're talking about them right now. 99.3. Hello, thanks for calling us.
Hello, Sandra.
Good to have you on the show. What's your name?
Mirabel, calling you from Kwesi.
Welcome, Mirabel. Go ahead.
I want to talk about the president's speech.
Okay, go ahead.
Why is he trying to mock those people that have been killed, those that have been killed? Because this is not the first time he's going out to speak. Last time he said he's going to clap down on terrorists. He said he's going to fish them. Those terrorists that Qatar gave him, why have you not gone to catch them? Is this what I want to go and catch? And for Kwaku Ansu, those people are debating for Biafra.
Okay, all right. Thank you very much for calling. We appreciate it. 99.3, hello.
Hello. Hi, Sandra.
How are you? What's your name?
I'm fine. My name is Shade. How are you doing?
Hi, Shade. Someone was asking about you the other day.
Okay, hi to them, too.
You have fans.
Well, Sandra. So, for the first story, the attack, yeah. It's sad. Because you would think, I would think that, before we went, it's good to respond, but that we will have some sort of, what's that word? Okay. The English I'm looking for. Surveillance or intel.
Okay.
Of where we are going, so we wouldn't lose so many, soldiers.
Okay.
Because, the Nigeria doesn't really, make people feel patriotic. Okay. So getting newer recruits is hard. In my opinion,
okay.
for the army, for any of the armed forces, and for the police, so losing them is not really ideal for us. And then the response from the president, that's just disappointing. Like, okay, we have heard that before.
But those were really strong words. He was really. I thought that those were really strong words.
Sandra, big time.
Oh, sorry.
Big time.
Sorry.
Strong. It's not. Like, if they had said something, and then maybe the next day something had happened, and then they prosecute them, the people they catch. Action, not words. We don't want words anymore. We want to see things happen. Because people are tired of words. That's why it doesn't even sound strong to us anymore. It's just like, okay, you're saying again, platitudes. Then we sympathize. We're going to catch them under the rock, in the mountain, under the sea, in the ocean. Yeah, wherever you are, we shall catch you. I almost feel like it was reading something from an American president. But anyway, I leave that one alone.
Okay.
So,
right.
I would like to say, if it walks like a dog and it quacks like a dog, Sandra, what is it? It's a dog. So he's only saying what he believes is happening there, like the sentiment. As he said, he gave his reason saying that because they believe in one Nigeria.
Right.
Now, sadly, it's a false view because, as you said, and as we all know, it's not everyone agitating for, the Biafra breakaway.
Right.
So you can't use that, even if it's half. You can't use half the people to now say that the whole northern people would are thinking this because of some people. I mean, I feel it's unfair of him to say that, but I feel like that is what he hears. And so he's saying what he believes, and that's what it is. I don't think he owes them an apology, because I believe he's genuinely saying what he thinks that the people believe, which is also false. And I think it's their job to educate the people that that is not the way it should be.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. We've got Keinde. Keinde is joining us from Finland. Hi, Keinde.
Andra.
Hi, how are you? Good evening.
My first comment about Wale would be that strong words don't equate to action.
Okay.
It's main thing is the action. What are moves? People have been saying we condemn this since the time of Goodluck Jonathan. We got to Buhari's regime, we condemn this, we do the same story. So I don't think that's what is needed. What is needed is let people be prosecuted. The people that are caught, terrorists that have come to surrender, don't just accept them, prosecute them, get information from those people if indeed they're terrorists. Then we can know that you are indeed concerned about the lives of Nigerians. About Kwan Kwanso, I feel it's an insult on the intelligence of the Northerners.
Okay.
Because one man has clearly described them as a bigot, as a bigot, that they have some certain reaction or certain way against their own errors. And this is the game of the politicians.
Right.
They always try to play the ethnic card whenever elections are near, just to confuse the electorate. So I would say for the Northerners, they should make statement and make sure to let Kwan Kwanso know that one man cannot decide the destiny of millions of people. Because if it's decides to rise all Fulanis as something now, everybody will start shouting and they will start persecuting people. Then a man comes out and classifies those Southeasterners as a particular class of people, and he has by the decent or something. I think this is just their game, and I count it as just nothing. Thank you, Sandra. Have a good day.
Thank you, Kaylee. Thank you very much for calling. All right, we've got messages on social media, so let me take a look at some of them. Babatunde Mustafa says, for Kevin to have spoken that way, it shows he has lost faith in the government, finally. I know Etim won't agree. As for Kwan Kwaso, he's speaking the facts. There's a huge difference between social media and the grassroots. Nigerians still vote along ethnic and religious lines. All right. That was on Twitter. On WhatsApp, we have Ayaba from Yaba who says, don't modern port operators know that the most efficient way to move cargo is rail? Where is the rail network that they built to connect existing ones? All right. Oh my God, we've got a lot of messages on WhatsApp. A lot. I'm going to try to take as many of them as possible. Here's a message from, you didn't leave your name, but you say that, I wish water and railway will be constructed as the only means of moving things out of that port. He also says, I think the immigrations and customs agencies need to do more about influx of arms and terrorists at the borders to support the effort of the army and the air force. All right. Thank you very much for your message. This message is from Afiz Lawal, who says, what is the political weight of Kwan Kwaso that is saying that the North will not vote for the Southeast? I'm not going to say that. For security, until this regime is voted out, Nigeria will not. Okay. Afiz Lawal is on Air Road, Alagbado. Thank you, Afiz, for your message. Here's a message here. Sounding bitter and crying on the radio will not stop terrorists from killing. Security is a collective responsibility for all and sundry. You didn't leave your name. Dele from Lekki with that message. All right, Dele. Thank you very much. Rashid from Naibi says, Rashid Naibi from Lagos says, Sandra, there's fire on Nigerians' roof, yet we turn blind eye as if it's nothing. Sandra, tell me, what do you think ordinary Nigerians should expect when soldiers with weapons cannot protect themselves? All right. More messages here. Let's take a look at as many of them as we can. Emmanuel Ofulue from Ikotun says, We all know that Kwame Kwaso will not rule this country, so nobody should take his speech seriously. Babatunde says, I do not think Nigeria will ever get good leaders because we are so self-centered. Chike from Cooper Street, Ikoyi says, Kwame Kwaso should face his own campaign and leave Obi alone. Instead of talking about Obi all the time, he has not been able to tell us what his party wants to do for Nigeria. It is Obi, Obi, Obi all the time. I listen to him. All right, Chike. But I mean, they are in talks with Obi's party for a merger, so it would make sense that he's talking about Obi all the time. But I also think the fact that Obi is the most talked about candidate, you know, in this election cycle is interesting. I think it's an interesting thing. Every politician and their mama is making a big deal of telling you, oh, Obi stands no chance, is making a point to let you know Obi stands no chance. It makes you wonder why. It makes one wonder why. Like, because if me, I know, say my competition doesn't stand a chance, I'll just keep doing my own thing because I'll be like, hey, thank God, though, all of you are facing this person that doesn't have chance. I will now win, oh, hey, it's very easy, oh, I'll sell my market. But if, like, I spend most of my time, and I'm seeing this happen from all the other parties, the APC, the PDP, if all of them are taking out time to tell you, oh, this candidate is not going to work, it's really interesting. And I really want to know why. Why do you think that is happening? Is that how campaigns work? You know, we'll take a break. We talked about the Lekki port receiving its first ship. We talked about Kwame Kwaso saying the North will not vote a Southeasterner. Then we also talked about the proposed tariff increase on BRT routes by the Lagos state government. We didn't get the chance to talk about the Ondo state kidnap victims, but hopefully at 5 o'clock we may be able to touch it if our guests from the Kaduna state government do not show up. 99.3, hello.
Hello.
Good to have you on the show. What's your name, sir?
Yes, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. What's your name?
Okay, this is Samuel.
Hi, Samuel. Welcome. Go ahead.
Yes, quickly, concerning Kwame Kwaso's statement, honestly speaking, I won't have judged him, you know, wrongly concerning what he said. Fine, he might be somehow offensive to some set of people, but the man is just being realistic.
Okay.
I have northern friends, and I stayed there, so I know, I mean, their orientation. When it comes to elections, even up to year 2022, they still believe, mostly, even in their lead, they are not yet as liberated as we are here. So, because I watched this guy yesterday, I mean, during his interview with him, you know. So, what he said is just the truth, except we just want to deceive ourselves. But that does not mean that whether he absorbed Peter Obi as vice or he's trying to demolish him just because of that ideology, you know, their own political view. I mean, that has nothing to do with the credibility of Peter Obi, and that has not got anything to do with, I mean, even his ambition becoming the leader of this nation. But I wouldn't have wanted many people, you know, to have passed him from what he just said. He's just being realistic. Thank you.
All right. But is it realistic to just label an entire group of people as unexposed, like that caller has said? Because, you know, we often speak of the North as if the North is this monolith. The North is not a monolith. There are so many tribes in the North, so many different kinds of people in the North. You know, so many different kinds of people. It's not this one group that behaves this one way. So is it a fair thing to do? Is it a right thing to do? If you're a northerner listening to the show, you've heard from Kwame Kwaso, you've heard from this last caller. How do you feel about how you've been described by both Kwame Kwaso and this last caller? Do you think they owe you an apology? I wish we had more time to stay on this subject, but we don't. We have the business news coming up at you know, in a few seconds, really. But if at 5 o'clock, so the plan for 5 o'clock is to interview people from the teachers union and also someone from the Kaduna state government about their row with the government over aptitude tests for teachers in Kaduna. If those guests don't show up, we'll come back to this Kwame Kwaso story. All right. So 5 p.m., be listening. You can either, you know, listen to us talk about the Kwame Kwaso story or or listen to what the teachers in Kaduna are going through and how the government in Kaduna feels about it. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. This is Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info. If you're a landlord or a landlady, what do you think about this move by the EFCC to maybe arrest you if you have a fraudster living in your house, in your premises? What do you think about that move? Let's talk about that next.